So, you know.
It really is.
And I got the wee thing, well, it was emailed to me. Isn't it posh when you can say, I've had an email? It's a lot posher when you know how to get it off. You see, and this is, and actually, this is the first time I've been able to get the thing off, because the other printer was not very well for a long time. And everything was orange. And I couldn't see it. I couldn't read it because it was all orange. And in February, I'm going to India with an Indian friend of mine and my son and his wife. And I said to Shishila, I said, everything I print out's orange. I said, so I think I'll go and buy a pack of new inks. Yeah, it's good, isn't it? You can do that, can't you? Well, I think... So I went out and bought these and then found out that it wasn't the inks, it was the printer. And these inks won't fit in the one I've got. So that's one of those things in life, isn't it? So, of course, she had with her one of her many millions of family, and she came to my house. And she said, can I have a look? I said, will you have a look? Because you're clever. She works at, or she does her job at the university in Manchester. I said, you've got to be clever if you're there. She said, I'll come. She said, you want a new one? I said, is that it? Just a new one? She said, yes. And I thought, you know, I've had that a long time. She said, that's the problem. You know, this morning we're going to be talking about precious things. That was precious to me, that. I didn't want to spend money on another one. Anyway, I had to do. So then, of course, you have to learn how to use it. I said, I want something so simple. You know, I go in a shop now and I say, look, I'm an idiot. Who says that when they go into a shop? Yes, come on. Let's be, yes, yes. If you say you're an idiot, they're so thrilled that they can show their superiority. And then you have to say, hang on a minute, I didn't understand the first two pages. Anyway, this is dead simple. I just press a button now, press that other button, and it does it. And it's not even plugged in. You know, it's a miracle. And now this has become a precious possession of mine as well. Because this is dead easy. If this ever goes, and they go back to the old one, I've had it. So all we're going to be thinking about is about treasure and passing on treasure. So let's just have a listen to what Paul was talking to Timothy about. And this is what he said. This is from chapter 4 of the second of Timothy. And from verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful. Bring him with you. He's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. I think that's a wonderful piece of scripture. Just a little bit before it, Timothy says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And in another translation on the same verse, it says, work hard so God can say to you, well done, be a good workman, one who does not need to be ashamed when God examines your work. And this is the important bit. Know what his word says and means. And really, what we're talking about this morning, the treasure, is the word of God. And the word of God, which is Jesus Christ himself. Today we're going to concentrate on this treasure, what this treasure is. Writing to Timothy, we've got here Paul nearing the end of his earthly life. And he urgently requires of Timothy to remember that the most important thing in a Christian's life is to pass on through word and life the message of God Almighty. But let's just set that scene. It's all right writing that, but, you know, let's just set where he was and what he was and wasn't doing. Paul knows that it won't be long before he will die. And this letter written to Timothy between AD 66 and AD 67. And it's from prison, where it would lead to this stalwart of Jesus Christ being executed by order of that most evil and cruel emperor, Nero. Well, if we'll never forget Nero, will we? And this fiddling while Rome burns. And it's interesting, you know, you think he's a bit mad about that. But I was reading a historical document about Nero. And mind you, they do it today, don't they? He burned down Rome so that he could rebuild it to his liking. Would you blame the Christians for it? And so often in this life and in this world, that there are people, powerful people, destroying beautiful things so that they can do things for themselves. And we see it all around. The most important thing in Paul's life now is to write this letter to the new generation of leaders. We've got a new generation here, haven't we? This little leader at the front here. Good lad. I can just think, I'm just thinking, how old is the little boy?
One and a half.
One and a half. Well, you're a beautiful little boy, and you're ever so good. Not at all like my little boy when he was one and a half. He caused chaos. Absolute chaos. Who's had chaotic children? And didn't they lead a merry dance? I remember many years ago. I don't tell you what he said because I'm in church. But he was about two. And, of course, my husband worked 51 years for the railway, so the railway was his life. My son's on the railway. It's his now, although not as, you know, like his dad. And he said, if you're a good boy, we'll take you to York and we'll show you the trains in the York Museum. I've been that many times. I've had my husband, bless him, tell me every wheel, everything, every engine, who made it, who painted it, and we've got things all over our house. Is that where you're going? Well, it's a wonderful place, because all the mallards, all the... They're all there, aren't they? You know, I really want to go now. And, and so we took him. But, you know, little boys being little boys, I said, before we go in, we're going to go and have something to eat. I don't want anything to eat, Mummy. And of course, I get crabby when I'm hungry. Who gets crabby when they're hungry? Oh, I'm so glad there's not only me. You know, you get yourself wound up, don't you? And you're thinking to yourself, I could just do with something to eat. And my husband used to say, by the look on your face, we'd better go to a chippy quick. And he knew the signs. He knew the signs. So we're on York Station, and then it had silver service. Silver service. Bygone days. White cloths. Silver teapots. No, they weren't silver, but they looked like it. And my son, I don't want to go from... I said, we're going to have some lunch. Behave. So we sat there. And of course, Mother trying to be calm, and underneath I'm raging. It's your favourite. It's soup. Tomato soup. Well, he stood on the chair, and it was packed. I don't know where he got it from, but he said, I don't want any soup. I was mortified, absolutely mortified. I said, listen, if you don't have the soup, you don't have the trains. What do you mean, Mummy? Said, we just go onto the other platform and we go home. It worked. He had the soup. But you're beautiful. You're going to be a new leader here, aren't you, darling? Yeah, what's he called?
Sandman.
Well, that's beautiful. Isn't it good? Yeah. Oh, yes, I would have had four or five if it had been like you. Only had one. I think we brought them all after Gareth. But this is new generation that Paul... We should all be thinking about that, passing on the message, passing on the faith. We know we can't make people believe, we can't make them have faith. That's not our job. Our job is to live the life. And our job is so that people might know that we're different than the rest out there. In the nicest possible way. So passing on this message, passing the faith, leaving it to the Holy Spirit. You know, I would love my son. I would have loved my husband to have been able to say that they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you pray, and you pray, and you pray. And you just hope that somewhere in these lives, there's enough to be accepted. Because they're not doing it, you see, like I think they should be doing it. And we're all like that, aren't we? And it's precious to us. It really is precious to us. But, you know, Paul was one that pushed the boundaries of missionary work, didn't he? Time and time again. He had zeal. He had that zeal that took him all over the known world at that time. He'd been imprisoned. He'd been beaten. He'd gone hungry. He'd suffered in a way that we cannot ever imagine suffering. And, of course, there was this torch of faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd had it tough, hadn't he? Really tough, being a Christian. And this letter was the last letter that he would ever write. It reveals his heart and his priorities, his sound doctrine, his unshakable faith. Now, you know, we might not be clever at many things. We might not be able to do the... You know, have you been watching this bait program? Oh, I have. It's been fascinating. I mean, watching things rise and things flop. And Mary Berry there at nearly 80, and she's wonderful with her cakes. I bought a cake book. Mine didn't look like hers, but still, they were all... I remember my husband saying, don't worry about your cakes, we can always mash them up and put custard over it. That's after you'd stood about 2 hours in the kitchen. But, you know, we need to be able to have this continuance, this faith, this preciousness. And, of course, it contains Paul's famous last words. He faced death. He didn't face it because he was poorly, although we know that he did have something wrong with him that plagued him all his life, that he'd prayed to God. And this is for all of us. I mean, when you go to your home, it won't be just what's dinner ready, it's what pill do I take next. isn't it? I mean, I had to take one before I started, not to give me courage, but to make sure I stood up long enough. And this is it, isn't it? We've pills and we've pills and we've pills. But the thing is, Paul wasn't poorly in that respect. He said to God, please take it away. And God said, no. So whatever we are suffering at the moment, let's forget about that. Forget about it. Because God knows about it and he knows what we take and the doctor knows what we should take. So let's just take these pills and get along fine. Because if we don't, we won't be coming to church next week. So we've got to be careful, haven't we, really? Just think about things. Think about things. He wasn't poorly that way, but he was in prison. And the next time he would go out of that, whatever it was, whether it was a dungeon, whether it was house arrest, whether whatever it was, wherever he was, he must have felt the cold. Because what did he say? Will you ask Carpus if you'll bring me my cloak? I'm cold. So you see, he's in an uncomfortable state. And yet he praises God. He praises God. And what does he want most of all? Does he want money? Does he want possessions? He wants his books and his parchment so that he can carry on writing the word. And he'd be doing that till they dragged him away for execution. I wonder what our prized possessions are. Is it our home? Our car? Our money? Our jewellery? It's usually things, isn't it? If we're truthful. Oh, just a minute, we forgot the family. You know, because sometimes they come last. Whether we have much or little, things break, get stolen, wear away, fall down, break down. And unlike the pharaohs of old, who could take it with them, we can't. So what is our treasure this morning? I know some of our treasure will be the love of people who love us and care for us. Some of our treasure will be the fellowships and the friendships that we make between us. And a lot of our treasure will be coming here and in my own fellowship to worship and praise God and be with people who are like-minded. Do you know, there's nothing like it. And you know Christians no matter where you are in the world. You know that? Really, yes. You know who Christians are. I've told you about being on that flight going to Egypt once, and this man who I thought was Yasser Arafat, and he said to me, because it was Egypt Air, and he said, he didn't say, who are you? He said, what are you? And I thought, oh, Lord. I mean, there's been 3 Kuwaiti aeroplanes blown up on a runway, and we're in a plane, and a fella's asking me, what am I? So I said, right, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die proper. I said, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the 2 English people at the front turned around and went, oh, gosh. And I thought, I want to be buried as a Christian. And this young fella just said, it's all right, so am I. And I thought, can't be true. Can't be true. And then he said, I went to St. John's Methodist Church in Conway. And then I knew it was true. But sometimes we need to just make a stand. Sometimes it only has to be a small stand by just saying no. And let them trouble with what you've said no about. What's our priority in life? You know, is it a treasure? Is what we've got a treasure that can pass on? Well, we can pass our love and our kindness and our joy and our faith so that people might know that this person, I'd like to be like them. And there ain't many folk out there that you can say that, is there? Because the world's a bit upside down at the moment. And when you think about treasures, how many people are squabbling over what you've got anyway? The young Timothy, it would be a time of persecution and opposition. He would be fearful at times, but he's encouraged by his mentor, Paul, to carry on, to be unashamed, to be unafraid. Just to keep training people, giving these young, oh, bless him, giving these youngsters sound doctrine. When people say, what did you do at weekend? They'll be frightened to tell them. And if they said, you went where? I had over 20 years working at Boots. And it was amazing. I got the job because they said I was a minister. Well, I was trainee minister then. And she said, well, we'll have you on because we know you won't pinch the money. I didn't need a CV. Is it called a CV? I just had to tell them that I was training to be a minister. And then they said to me, you know, we don't want none of this holy stuff here. Okay. But every now and again, the manager used to put his head round. He said, Jean, just go down there and sort this woman out. She's crying. I don't want to know why or what for. Just go. And I became the minister at Boots. I baptized their children. And I buried their dead. And all the time, I was just Jean in the cash office, doing the wages. But you see, the thing was, I felt so privileged that these people called on me to do a service in God's name. And you give the glory back to him. You know, when you think about it, the early church had a mission statement. And Jesus gave us that statement. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Now, to me, all creation is everything. So that's the care of all the animals and the birds and the fishes and everything else that creeps. And do you know we're the only creatures on God's earth that hasn't got a coat? Every animal and fish and bird has a coat. If it's feathers or scales or fur. And we wear our disappointment on us because we can't wear it. You know, once upon a time, we were clothed in the glory of God. And because of sin, it was taken away. So we have to put clothes on. And that's becoming a bind. Because everywhere you go, they're all different sizes. Aren't they? You go for your own size. And you said, it says it's 20. And it's a size 4 when you try and put it on. We have so much trouble through sin. And that's just a small one. Paul is a very tough act to follow. How can we be strong like him in the face of adversity? But you know, Mother Teresa of India, she said this, and I want you to remember this morning, because she was a very quiet, wonderful woman. She said, God doesn't require us to succeed. He only requires that we try. And so if anything wants doing, before you say, I can't, have a go. Because, you know, when you have a go, sometimes you amaze yourself. You know, we can't all speak like Paul. We can't all stand up against authority. So what can you and I do to make sure as far as we can to keep the flame alive that has burned in our hearts and help to pass this treasure on? I love the verse that we read this morning of how Paul viewed his coming death. What does he write? The time has come for my departure. But to me, it sounds as if he's going to catch a train or a plane. And this is how we should think of it. One day we'll be on the station platform and God will call us on board. And the good news is, thank God we'll be with him. Very soon, he says at the end of it, I shall be on my way to heaven. Paul knew in his heart that he'd been very faithful to his calling. He'd run the race set before him. And he knew that he would meet Christ. What a wonderful gift. Somebody said to me only a few weeks ago, how do you know? How do you know that Christ is going to be there at the end? I said, well, my body says I don't, but my heart says I do. My faith says I do. But he said, what happens if when you're dead and then all of a sudden there's nothing? And I said, well, look, I look at it this way. I try to live a life fashioned on the Lord Jesus Christ. I try to be fair with people and be honest with them and love them. and want to do things for them and be kind. I said, and really, at the end of my life, if there's nothing there, I've nothing to worry about. But you see, I followed the rules. But if you go there and you stood there, what happens to you? Set some thinking. We need to carry the torch of truth throughout the world. Let us not forget, finally, that the heavenly reward is not just for the giants of faith, like Paul, but for all those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. All those who are looking forward to his return. This should be what we're thinking about. Working, yes, but thinking it could be tomorrow. I'm supposed to be going to Wales tomorrow. But if he comes tomorrow, I'll cancel Talaka or whatever it's called. And hope I can get some money back. But we won't be worried about that, will we? Because if he's there, we've got a new world. You know, when you think about it, Paul fought the fight with great courage. It was always tough and he expected nothing else. And perhaps you and I are having it a bit tough at the moment. But it shouldn't stop us spreading God's word. You know, when you think about it, it has to be said that you and I have a lot of catching up to do in this finishing the task. No matter what happened to Paul, he would never give up his faith. He finished the task that God had set him. And how did he do it? Well, it says, the Lord stood at my side. The Lord stood at my side. He didn't do it on his own. The Lord was there. He gave me strength, he says, that so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. What more do we want this morning? He's here by our side. God freely gives it to us, doesn't he? This treasure comes to us as a gift, an invitation. When you think the greatest treasure, Jesus, who he gave to the world, for the world, to save the people from their sins. And what about this? I knew I'd want to drop that. And what about this? Men and women call many things treasures to them. You know, in Pointless, I don't know whether you watched that quiz or not, but in Pointless, there was they could have won £4,500. And they were asked, what would you do with £4,500? Which they didn't. And the lady said, I'd buy jewellery. And the guy said, I'd have a new set of golf clubs. Now, I hasten to add, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong at all. Two girls on bargain hunt were asked what they would do if they had any money. And it would be a very much smaller amount than £4,500. And they both said, we are giving it to the charity we both work for. How do we view worldly treasures? If you think about it, we do view them in different ways. But the last question this morning is, how are you and I to use the greatest treasures for the benefit of family, friends, everybody? Are we going to use it, or do we light the Olympic flame? Be lit at the beginning, but turned out at the end. I pray that we will remember that we are responsible. Amen. Now, I can't bend down to pick that up, so I shall just leave it there. And I think they're waiting to come in now. This should be fun. I got a band.